If you would pray with me and for me this morning. This has been kind of a difficult week, and I've just kind of been out of focus to my routine a little bit. And so, if you would just pray with me and for me before we begin this morning. Father, in Jesus' name, I come to you this morning. And Lord, I sure do need you as I try to look into your holy word. And I ask you, Lord, please touch me and help me to preach with power, demonstration of the Holy Spirit. If there's any unconfessed sin in my life, please, Father, forgive me for it. Make me a vessel of honor for your glory. I ask you to open the hearts of the listeners. And Father, would you just speak to our hearts and do in our life what needs doing. And I'll thank you and praise you for it. If there's anything that would hinder the working of the Holy Spirit, would you hold it back for just a few minutes and allow Him free course in our midst. And I'll praise you for all you do. In Jesus' precious name, I do pray. Amen. All right, we're in John chapter 17, and I'm pretty comfortable. I will not do this chapter justice. I know there's much more in this than I will be able to get out of it, but so is all the Bible. But here we're going to see Jesus as our great high priest. Now, I have taught this here many times. A prophet comes from God with a message to the people. He comes from God to the people. But the high priest comes from the people to God on their behalf. And so we're seeing Jesus in a... I don't know. I know maybe he's still working here on earth in his high priest roles when he actually is in heaven. But in a sense, he is operating as a high priest, an intercessor. If you'll have that, he is going to God on our behalf. And so when we look at this, there's just some good truths here. And so we see this, and I just kind of want to say this before we get started in the chapter. If you were to follow Jesus from John chapter 12 up through where we're at now, he's praying all the way. In the upper room, he's blessing the food and praying. And then here, he's praying on the way to the Garden of Gethsemane. And when he gets to Gethsemane, he prays again. And even on the cross, he's talking to the Father. And so I think there's a great lesson for that, for you and I, that as we engage in spiritual battle, as we engage in spiritual ministry, as we engage in serving the Lord, and maybe sometimes in a difficult way, we ought to pray as we go. We ought to stay in a state of prayer and just kindly have a prayer on our lips. He prayed every step of the way. Now, I don't know that he prayed down at Simon's house in John 12, but I'm not sure. I don't know that the Bible said he prayed there. But as he started towards Calvary, every step of the way, it seems he's praying. And I don't know about you, but isn't it precious that he lets us listen to him talking to his Father? I mean, I don't really like anybody listening at me pray. I just don't, especially when I'm being intimate with the Lord. I just don't want people to listen, but here's the Lord, and he's so gracious to us. He just lets us listen at what he has to say to his Father. And I just think that's so precious. That's so kind and loving of him to let us do that. And so, as we look at this, it almost feels like we're on sacred ground. It's not right to be in the room where Jesus is praying and talking to his Father. Now, I know he's not in the room. Some think he's still in the upper room. I think he's on his way to the... I'm just taking the Bible for what it says. I think he's on his way to the Garden of Gethsemane, and somewhere in that trip he prays. And so I think it's precious that he lets me and you listen to what he has to say. And so we see those little truths, and we see this, and I just kind of want to mention this to you. We see Jesus as an intercessor. And we don't think about much about intercessors. And I've heard saints say this. I just don't know why they don't do, my loved one don't do this, or my loved one don't do that. And they get very frustrated. But did you know we can pray for our loved ones? Think about that. Brother Allen, I can't get saved for you. I can't do for you what God wants you to do. I can't do the service He wants you to do. But I can pray in your behalf and in your stead. I can intercede to God for you and it be beneficial. My, I started thinking about that. And that's what Jesus is really doing in this prayer. He is interceding for you and I. And we're going to see that. And there's some things He wants out of our life. We see a godly progression. Notice chapter 16, verse 33. These things I have spoken. So He's taught them truths. We've been through that. Chapter 13 is the cleansing. Chapter 14 is anxiety. Chapter 15 is bearing fruit. And He's passing these truths along. And then He comes down, after He's given them truths, He prays for them. And don't you think that's the right way to do business? You give truth out, you give truth out. Maybe you parents give it out to your children. But then after you give them truth, you ought to be praying for them. Fact of the matter is, I read that little thing to you Wednesday night on prayer. I ought to pray. After every message I preach, I ought to get alone somewhere and pray and ask God to seal it to the hearts of the people. And so as we come to chapter 17, I want you to notice what it says. And we don't normally pray this way. But here's what the Bible says. I guess because he's journeying. Maybe that's why. As he's journeying, the Bible says, "These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven." Now, it doesn't even say he closed his eyes. The Bible said he just lifted up his eyes to heaven. That's how he prayed, like this right here. I mean, he wasn't down on his knees, and there's nothing wrong with it. There's times he was. He didn't have his face bowed. I don't even think he had his eyes closed. I think he wasn't laying prostrate on the ground. He wasn't doing any of that, but he was just looking up as he prayed. And I think there's a great lesson for us there. We can pray anytime. We can pray in any, we can pray lying on our bed in the middle of the night. We can pray. Many of you have done that, and we'll do it again. We can pray laying down. We can pray kneeling on our knees. We pray at our house sitting at our kitchen table. Sometimes when we have the meals, or all the time when we have the meal, we say a prayer there at the kitchen table, just sitting at the table. And so we pray sitting, lying face down. Peter prayed while he was sinking in the water. He prayed while he was going down. He prayed and God heard him and delivered him. Driving down the road many times. I run across, I forgot, maybe it was Jessica Brandt and I was driving. I don't know, Brent, if she said anything, but I was just talking up a storm and passed Jennifer and she just looked at me kindly odd. And so we can pray while we're driving down the road and just talking to the Lord. And so the position, I want you to understand that's not, maybe not that important, but we can pray any time. And I think sometimes we just lose sight of that, our ability to pray. But then I want to just notice a few little things as we open up. Notice what Jesus said, "The hour is come." There was an awareness on Jesus' part of the time he was living in and of the time of his life. I mean, he realizes his hour has come. And then you know, well, many of you Bible students know this. He talks about that hour many times. He said to his mother once, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. Maybe speaking of when he gave John the responsibility of taking care of her. I don't know, but he realized the hour that he was living in. And 1 Chronicles chapter 12 and verse 32, and of the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. Issachar's children had understanding of the times. I'm afraid today God's people do not have understanding of the days we're living in. I'm just afraid we don't realize the danger for our children and our grandchildren. I'm really afraid we don't realize how the devil is roaring and how he's seeking to devour our families today. I see mamas and daddies, and my, do you not realize mom and dads and that they're perverse, sexual perversion out there, and the devil has people just waiting for an opportunity to devour your children. And I see mom and dads, I believe they're saved, and they just throw their children to the world. They just throw them out there in the middle of it. I don't think they understand the perilous times we're living in. I'm already out off my outline. Maybe I just talked to you for a little bit this morning. I don't think church people realize the times that we're living in. In 2 Timothy chapter number 3, and I'm convinced that this is church people. The Bible says this, "This know also in the last days perilous times shall come, dangerous times." And here's what it says, and I'm convinced it's talking about Christendom. It said, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves." And my, that's a dangerous place to come to when men love themselves. And if you just think about that sitting in this church, we could have men or women who love themselves. And that's their primary drive is their self-love. We could have people in our church who are covetous, money hungry, materialistic. Get all you can all you get. Care nothing about the things of God sitting on the church pews. I want to say that's dangerous times. When the church becomes wicked, that's dangerous times. When God's people become worldly, that's perilous times. And we're living in those days. And we don't even realize it. We just think we're a good bunch of folk. And the Bible plainly tells us boasters and proud and blasphemers and disobedient to parents and unthankful and unholy. Maybe sitting on our pews today, these folks with sin in your life. Just not right with God. Just not right with God. Can I tell you, when the church becomes wicked and sin gets in the church, that's perilous times, folks. We're living in hard. Here's what I'm trying to say. We're not aware of the times we're living in. We think everything's good and everything's lovely, and we're gauging that. We're gauging that on finances as a rule, because the finances are right and the money's there and we've got everything we want. We think everything's good, but can I tell you, if the spiritual situation's not good, it's not good. It's dangerous when God's people are not what they ought to be. Can I tell you, it makes for a dangerous world. And that's where we're at today. And somebody better wake up. Somebody better realize what's going on. Jesus was aware of his times. That's why he did what he did. If you know where you're living, that will help you do what you ought to do. It said of Issachar's sons, that they knew, they had an understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do.
When you understand the times, that tells you what you ought to do. Isn't that right? Here's Jesus. He knew His hour was come, and so He knew what He ought to do. But can I say to you today, God's people's like blind people. I don't understand it. I mean, everything comes in front of God. Everything comes second. We throw our kids to the world, and we think everything's going to be all right. I'm telling you, you better wake up. We're in perilous times. Oh, God, help us. God, help us as His people. Help us, Lord. Here He is. He understands His times. My, here's what it says about the church. That bunch is supposed to be right. It says they're disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. Man, that's sodomy. You know, churches are saying sodomy's okay. God's okay with it. Gonna be sodomites. Probably already are sitting on church pews every Sunday, acting like they're right with God. I want to tell you, that's perilous times. That's perilous times we're living in. Our kids are gonna be exposed to that, and already are, I guess. And we just take it so lightly. I mean, we just turn the TV on and say, hey, watch them sodomites and laugh at their jokes and laugh at what they say and enjoy it and dumb down to sin. And we don't even realize where we're living at today. My, it makes me so sad. It makes me sad. We're going to look at some of the things Jesus, He prayed the Father that He would keep them. Keep them holy. The first keep is a holy keeping. He prayed the Father would keep them holy. And holiness today is almost a joke. It's almost a joke. I suspect there's people sitting on our pews from time to time. They live any way they want to live. They do whatever they want to do. They watch whatever they want to watch and listen to whatever they want to listen to. And their name on a membership roll. And come in the house of God and think everything's okay. It's not okay. We just need to understand what I'm trying to say. And I guess I could just get on that and preach a while, but the Bible says they have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. We know that's church people. Church-going people and religious people. But here's what I'm saying. The problem is we don't know where we're living. We don't know the times we're living in. And my, we're in perilous times. He was aware. He was aware of the time. You say, what time was it for Him? It was the time that He and the devil were going to do battle. He's getting ready to go to Calvary and destroy the devil. That's what Hebrews 2, I believe it's chapter 2, says. He destroyed the battle, or destroyed the devil. And so we understand, we see some of those things. And he realizes his life was, his earthly life, and He is life, and He never dies. I want you to understand, I'm not saying that, but His time spent on earth was drawing to a close. And you know what I see today? It's just so sad to me. I see old people, and the world says this to old people, you need to try to be young, and you need to try to live it up and enjoy your golden years. Hey, can I tell you, God's people in their old age, they ought to try to sprint to the finish line. We ought to try to, can I tell you, if you're 60 years old or older, if you're going to do anything for God, you ought to do it. Time's running out for you. Do you understand that? The Lord understood. He was aware of the time He was at. And I want to say, when you get my age and older, you're on the last leg of the journey. And if you're going to amount to anything or do anything or try to win anybody to God or try to do something for God, I'm telling you, the time, you better get busy and do it. And you'll never do it if you don't understand that. The world lulls us to sleep like we're going to live forever. Lulls us to sleep. And we don't understand the times. But the Lord did. I'm glad for that. He was aware of the times that we were living in. But then I want you to see, and maybe I'll just maybe introduce this a little bit this morning. I want you to see what His desire was. His aspirations. What He desired to attain in His last in the hour that had come. Notice what it says. These words spake Jesus and lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify Thy Son. You might say to me, well, that almost sounds like a selfish prayer. No, you have to read the rest of it. Glorify Thy Son. Why? That Thy Son also may glorify Thee. Now here's what I'd like to just say to you. Jesus had a desire in this last hour. Now he's run His race, basically. He's coming down to the end. But at the end He said this, Father, I desire. I want You to know, Father, that I want to glorify You in this last hour I'm living in. And I just think that ought to be the desire of every one of us. To bring glory to Him with the rest of our lives. That sure is my desire. I want Him to get glory out of my life. I tell Him that on a regular basis. I want Him to get glory out of my house and out of my vehicles and out of my checkbook and out of my children and my grandchildren. I'll tell you what I desire for my family, that they just be found in the perfect will of God. That's all I care. I don't care if they have money. I don't care what about any of that. I just want them to be in the perfect will of God. And that ought to be the desire. That was Jesus' desire to glorify the Father. I want to ask you this morning, what is your desire? What do you want? Are you wanting things in your heart, deep in your soul, if you're saved? What do you want? Things? Money? Toys? Assets? Land? Farms? What is it you want with your life? What's your desire? What do you aspire to? I'll tell you what a child of God ought to aspire to. He ought to aspire that God get glory out of his life. There ought to be something in you that says, oh God, get glory out of my life. Get glory out of my life. That's not where you're at. Can I just say this? Something's not right in your life. You may be a faithful church member. You may be a good tither. You may sing in the choir. But if you don't want God to get glory out of your life, something's not right in your life. Something's sideways. You say, what will that be? It may be to preach if you're a man. It may be to go to the mission field. It may be to teach Sunday school. It may be anything. It may be to be a faithful church member that supports the church and just does whatever they can do. I don't know. There ought to be something down on the inside that says this. I've got just a... maybe a few years to live, and I'm talking back to you young folk as well. I've got just a few years to live, or I've got a lot of years to live, but God, would you help me to glorify you with my life? Is that where you're at this morning? Now, that's where Jesus was. He come down to the end, and he's saying this, I want you to get glory out of my life. I could say it this way, to be Christ-like is to desire that your life bring glory to the Father. That's Christ-likeness today. And so we see that, and we see that little truth. And my 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 says this, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever, ye do all to the glory of God. I want to just ask you, are you doing what you do to the glory of God. I mean, really, and here's what we say. Well, preacher, we live our life and we come to church on Sunday, the Christian life, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. If we're at the Walmart, we ought to be a Christian first. Isn't that right? If we're down at the grocery store, we ought to be a Christian first. If you're gathered up with your friends talking about Dre might be hunting and fishing, Andy's might be sports or what, Jason might be sports or whatever it is y'all do for your fun. When you're gathered up with your friends talking about whatever y'all like to talk about, you ought to be a Christian first. You ought to be a Christian first. Brother Don, down there at the Hardy's where you gather up every now and then, you ought to be a Christian first. It ought to be first and foremost. Wherever we go and whatever we do, we ought to glorify God and be a Christian. Stand for God and be focused on Him getting glory out of our lives. Now, that's where Jesus was. He's coming down to die. He says, "This Father, my hour's come, but if you just glorify me so I can glorify you." Too many of God's people are situational characters. Depending on the situation they're in is the character who they are. If they're with a worldly crowd, they're worldly. If they're with a church crowd, they're churchy. I just want to tell you, folks, something's wrong if that's who you are. Something's wrong. It's not right. Here the Lord is, and He's coming down. He's coming down to the end. And how did He glorify the Father? How was it He glorified the Father? Look at verse 3 and 4. Verse 2, 3 and 4. "As Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. I have glorified Thee on the earth." That's what He said. "I've glorified Thee on the earth." How? "I have finished the work which Thou gavest me to do." Some of us don't even know what God wants out of our life. We don't even know. Don't even have a clue. How are you going to finish the work when you don't know what He wants for you? And I understand that's a growth process. I don't expect everybody in this room to know. But by when you get up some age on you, you ought to have an idea of what God wants out of your life. You ought to have an idea about it. And so here He is. He said, "I finished the work." And I want to tell you this. I know the Bible says this. John 15, He's glorified if you bear much fruit. But I want to say this to you. God's glorified if you finish. If you finish the work He's called you to do. What do you think that means, preacher? I'll tell you in a nutshell what it means. It means staying true to the end. I mean, not being a casualty. I've never seen so many casualties in the day we live in. I mean, they're just in church right now. These folks just on the fence. They could stay in church or they could be out of church. They could go with God or they could end up liberalism and play in church. They're just on the fence. And some of them that are on the fence, can I tell you what's going to happen? They're going to be a casualty. As sure as I'm standing here, and they're going to bring dishonor and shame to the Lord. But I'll tell you what I want to do. I want to finish right. I may not. I'm comfortable. I didn't start exactly right. But I want to finish right. I want to bring glory to Him and finish the work He's given me to do. And that ought to be the desire of every child of God, to finish the work He's given you to do. Well, I'm not really preaching this text much. I'm just talking to you, I guess, a little bit. Are you going to be a finisher? You're going to be a quitter. You're going to run a little while, and then your life change a little bit. Is that not where we're at in this thing? You get people really excited about serving the Lord, and then they get a family, or they get involved in this club or this organization, or maybe they get a job that ties them down. And this individual that was so sold out for God, the blessings of God has caused them to sell the Lord out, and they're just lukewarm. I mean, they're just that Christian that God said, because you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. You know everybody's not serious about serving God. Everybody's not serious about doing right. Oh no, they just want enough to appease their conscience, but they're not really serious about going on with God. My, but one time, maybe one time they was, but God blessed them and things come in their life and all of a sudden God takes a back seat. My, how sad that is. Don Hook said this. He said, before he come by this sometime, I know he's dead and gone now, but he said this. He said God was calling him to the mission field. And he said, I can't go to the mission field, God. I've got a home and 10 acres and 2 children. And it was said it was just, he just thought a minute, maybe the Holy Spirit spoke to him. I don't remember the details of the story. He told it here, I believe. And he said, why, something's wrong. I'm allowing the blessings of God to keep me from being obedient to what God wants me to do. Isn't that sad? That's where God's people are today. Maybe in this congregation, there's some. Because God has blessed you beyond measure, it's caused you to be disobedient to what He wants for your life. Oh my, I want to challenge you, if you would. I just want to challenge you, live a life that glorifies God. Give you all to God. We're in the last days. We ought to be giving 100%. I don't know if people really believe this, and I don't know how much I do believe it, but I do believe it. I believe we're in the closing hours of this grace age we're living in. How much worse has it got to get? I mean, sodomy. Sodomy's abounding this in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. I mean, if we ain't in Sodom and Gomorrah of the United States, I don't know what we are. I mean, even religion's putting their stamp of approval on it. As in the days of Noah, they bought and they sold and they built. And is that not where we're at today? We're going on like a bunch of blind people, like nothing's happened. Hey, I'm telling you, time's running out. You better get serious about serving and glorifying God with your life. It's about over. I've never seen it snowball. I mean, it's like 10 years ago, sodomy was a sin. Now it's a sin if you say anything about it. I mean, in 10 years. That's 10 years. What's it going to be in 10 more years? I mean, when's the pedophiles coming out of the closet? When's all that? I mean, they're just born that way. Isn't that right? Isn't that what the sodomites say? Why can't the pedophiles say that? Why, if it's consensual, it ought to be okay. Isn't that right? Children have rights. Can't you see where we're going? Just another few years. I'm telling you, God's going to step in. You wait and see. You can't do away with innocent blood that's been shed. You study innocent blood in the Bible. God always judges the shedding of innocent blood. And we've killed how many babies is it we've aborted? Have doctors gotten rich off murder? And our tax dollars supporting it. I mean, it's a stink in the nostrils of God. And I'm telling you, God's coming. God's going to judge America. And poor old silly believers are saying, everything's okay. We're living good. It's never been better. You're over-exaggerating. I'm telling you, there's a God in heaven. And He's soon coming for the church. And if you're going to do anything for God, you better get busy doing it. Oh, my. I'm just kind of broken this morning. I'm just heavy-hearted for somebody. Don't play, church. I'm through. I ain't going to preach to you this morning. I'm just... Don't play. Just don't play. God's not going to take second place or third place or fourth place in your life. He's not going to take that. He wants first place. Let's bow our heads. I don't know what I'm burdened for, who I'm burdened for. I'm just really burdened we play around. It seems so odd. It seems so odd after us working so hard this week to preach this message. It just seems like I'm just beating you up, but I'm just telling you I'm burdened that we play around and we're not serious about serving God and time is running out. We're so spiritually blind we don't even realize it. Oh, I'm just saying we need to wake up and realize the day we're living in and get serious about glorifying God. About glorifying God with our lives. Just play for us softly. Sister King, I'm sorry. You just always come and play. If you would. While these are praying, maybe you'd like to come. Do you really want to glorify?